Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
No place to go, darling.
So here's a simple request. 6:12 in the morning, by the way. As you're driving to work, wherever you're driving this morning, anywhere in America or anywhere in the world where you're listening, you know where you're going. If you're up at this hour, it's probably not just you're out for a ride. You know where you're going. Get in the right lane. Get in the lane you need to be in before that lane comes up upon you. Because what happens is, if you are going to get in that lane at the last minute, you stop or slow down everybody behind you.
Yes.
It's not nice.
No.
I take it something happened to you this morning.
There's a new traffic pattern at Route 88 and 290.
Yeah.
And there's a miles-long backup now because people can't decide which lane they should be in. You drive it every day. If you're going to O'Hare or you're going to Rockford, stay to the right.
Well, it's just like the My Express lanes out when they're outbound.
Yes.
In the afternoon.
People line up.
And people, so the right lane is if you want to get out to O'Hare and Rockford. Okay, you stay in the right lane. The left lane is for 94 to Milwaukee.
You know where you're going.
So there inevitably there are people in the left lane who try to cut over at the last minute, which not only slows down the right lane, it also clogs up the left lane because you can't get around them.
Uh-huh.
And it's inconsiderate, it's rude, it's obnoxious.
Uh-huh.
You shouldn't do it.
Stop it.
Yes.
Just stop it.
Thanks for getting me going this morning.
Well, we all have to use the roads.
Yes.
We all have to share the roads in a civilized society.
No, Steve. Perry, there are some people who think they don't have to share them.
I don't understand the lining up for the express lanes. Because if you line up for the express lanes and you're waiting for the gate to drop like it's the Indy 500.
Oh, and that's ridiculous.
How much time are you wasting waiting for the lane to open that you could just be driving in the regular lane?
Not to mention the fact you are nearly causing accidents behind you.
Uh-huh. Now, I will say this. If you go south on the Ryan, we have two of the dumbest. Is it two, Mary, or three? The left exits that come off the overpasses where you have to cross. Like, if you're coming off of...
You talking about the Eisenhower?
Yeah, no, the Kennedy to the Ryan.
I thought you were talking about Austin and Harlem on
those
the
are
Eisenhower.
Stupid, too.
Those are the worst.
Left exits, and these are left on-ramps, so if you're trying to get over to the Eisenhower, say... Not that I know anyone that would do that. You've got to cross, is it five lanes? Four or five lanes of traffic in about a quarter mile.
Five. It is awful when you're trying to get back onto 290 and you're all the way over to the left. If you just came from Washington or Monroe or wherever you just came off, and you can't get all the way over. It's just...
So if you're visiting our fair city, don't do that.
Yeah, don't plan on...
Don't do that.
Getting
just
to the
cross town, stay on Washington, stay on, what is it, Monroe? No,
yeah.
Madison. Stay on Madison and just drive over to the United Center and turn left.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's the
you
same.
You really want to go there, yeah.
If you're going northbound on the Kennedy through Hubbard's Cave, where after the Ryan becomes the Kennedy there, and all those on-ramps are on the left side.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a leap of faith when you come off that ramp onto the expressway.
Yeah, and if you don't know the area and you don't do this every day, that's what the big problem is. And, with this new lane configuration going on 88. But once you drive in, Steve, you're driving in automation, right? I mean, I know I am. I'm just kind of automation. But if there is a new lane configuration, it's a little bit befuddling.
But
you know,
I know where
right
I'm going.
Away.
It's not a shock to me that I'm headed to the city of Chicago. So, therefore, I know I have to be in the far left lane.
Yeah, but there's a two left express now, and then the right local, right? Is that that's
no the way they changed it? It's O'Hare or Rockford in the right, and Mannheim or the city on the left.
Okay,
and
so split in two. Yeah,
yeah.
And there's people, I mean, that how long is that delay now? How long are people backed up?
They're backed up from about Midwest Road now.
Yeah, I mean, that's miles. Mm-hmm. Miles and miles and miles, because idiots in front of you can't decide which lane they're supposed to be in. Now, if you're listening to this show and you've just made that move, you're not an idiot. You're just momentarily confused. But come on.
You know where else it happens? Right out here. I don't know if you ever go north on Columbus, mm-hmm. coming out of our building, mm-hmm. and left onto Lower Wacker,
sure.
there. And how many people coming south make that left turn east towards Lakeshore Drive from the middle lane?
Uh-huh.
They don't get in the left-hand lane.
You cut people off.
It's crazy.
Right. And if you go north on Columbus, there's sort of a dopey traffic pattern there, too. Like, if you want to turn left onto Ontario,
mm-hmm.
this previous street left turn, you have to be in the far left lane. Then you could be in either the left or the middle lane. And then they add construction a couple of blocks down. Look, this is not New York. We're supposed to be able to get around Chicago.
Yeah, the grid is supposed to be easy. So, that's what my father always told me.
This city is, the city itself is very well designed.
Mm-hmm.
There is a couple of drunken engineers who put together these left exit situations. And the construction has to happen. I get it. We got to fix the stuff, even though it's a gigantic pain. But just know where you're going. I mean, it's minimal responsibility. Know where you're going. Get in that lane before you have to get in that lane.
But when there are no cars around, it's very easy to navigate the streets of this city.
Very true. If there's no one else on the road but you,
yep.
have at it, Elaine. Remember Elaine from Seinfeld? This is luxurious.
But she was always in a taxi.
Well, that was one drive, I think. At 6:18, we'll come back. We'll do the top six. Lots to talk about. Most of it good. And it's going to be a beautiful sunny day. Weird little lightning storm this morning.
Really?
Yeah, clouds over the city, and you know, big old thunderstorm blew through like on the edge of Lake Michigan, and it was bizarre because you're coming out of a sunrise into this big old dark cloud.
Are you sure, Steve? Because I didn't see it.
I didn't. Either.
I was looking at it while I was changing lanes.
No, I'm watching it on radar right now. It's out over the lake now.
Oh, there are some big clouds out there.
Thank you,
Steve. How exciting.
Over your right shoulder,
backing me up. It's 6:19. We're going to come back in a moment and do that top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Item number one. If you ever lived or visited the Southeast, it's not uncommon to see an alligator or a crocodile. It is uncommon in Chicago. And Gilligan, wake up, because the Humboldt Park Lagoon has an alligator. 4 to 5 feet long. It's been spotted but not found. Resident Renzi Horst Ruiz said she was walking around the lagoon 6:30 in the morning yesterday, spotted the alligator. She said it looks like 4 or 5 feet long. Took a picture of it before it disappeared. However, animal experts have been unable to find it so far. This is likely a situation where somebody thought it was a brilliant idea to have a baby alligator, and it started to get too big, and they turned it loose. So I feel bad for the alligator. The alligator's got no friends.
Yeah.
Alligator's not swimming around finding people that look like it. Not people, alligators. The alligator's just going, well, where the hell am I?
Yeah, and he's waiting for a bare foot to fall into the pond of the lagoon to bite down on.
Yeah, so. The alligator's probably a little cranky, yeah, going, little I don't have Google Maps.
Angry.
I don't
angry.
Know how to get to Florida. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to get to South Carolina. I don't know how to get home. So if you're around Humboldt Park Lagoon.
They told people not to go in the water. How many people do swim in the Humboldt Park Lagoon?
Yeah.
Well, I think there's probably kayakers, though. I mean, it's like people that go out on, you know, devices, probably.
Maybe.
There are people there overnight watching this, like gawkers, like just waiting to see if they saw something surface
you know
in
what?
The water.
Yeah, go home and search alligator on YouTube. You know, you can see it all the time.
Wasn't there always a story, lots of stories, about people who would flush baby alligators
yep.
down toilets in New York City, and now yep. they roam the sewers?
Yeah, there's thousands.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some of them look like ugly tourists in Times Square.
And it's not just alligators. I saw a story recently, I think it was in Utah, maybe, where people have dumped goldfish into lakes, and they have grown into giant fish.
Yeah, they turn into sharks.
And they've become like predators and the like.
Yeah, the piranha.
Yeah.
We don't make this stuff up.
No, it's real.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Piranhas.
Humboldt Park Lagoon. You know, and listen, I'm not being paid to lobby for the alligator lobby. I'm just saying, the alligator, it's not the alligator's fault.
No.
So let's let the alligator live out its life. What if the alligator were to breed with something else in the water there?
Steve, I just want to let everybody know, we are on alligator watch. We will break in immediately if this this guy's found this morning.
Which intern are we sending over to cover?
We have a lot. We have a chopper above the lagoon, and yeah, we've got people on standby.
Are you suggesting, like, half alligator, half otter?
That's what I'm saying. If the alligator, you know, mates with something in the lagoon that's not alligator-like, because yeah, there's no alligators.
Right.
Or the other option is we go get another alligator, we toss it in the lagoon and see what happens.
And raise them.
Or an Asian carp. Let's put one of those in there.
Oh, no. An Asian carp that looks like an alligator?
Be awesome.
Leave the poor alligator alone. Next. Sounds like gas
what
to
is
me.
What is that?
That's an alligator.
Motorboat. It is? Mm-hmm.
On Tuesday, the Chicago Tribune reported that the Chicago Fire has agreed to pay a community of Bridgeview to break its lease at SeatGeek Stadium. They must really want to get out of this lease. They're paying $10 million up front, $5 million to upgrade existing soccer facilities near the stadium, and $50.5 million through 2036, which amounts to $2 to $3 million a year. That's a lot of money.
And the stadium was built as a home for the Fire.
Yeah, so, and it's not convenient, but it's 15 miles away. It's not inconvenient. So I'm not sure what the problem is. Do we have any idea? I mean, are there alligators there possibly that have scared people?
Not that I know of. It's been used as a concert venue. The Chicago Red Stars, the women's pro team, I think will continue to play there as far as I know.
And they say that the Fire don't know where they're going to play. Well, you don't just leave and not know where you're going to play. There has to be a deal that hasn't been announced.
I think there's a deal to play at Soldier Field.
Oh, it makes sense.
Yeah, they haven't announced it, but where else are they going
to
go?
And it's easier for the most rabid soccer fans to get to Soldier Field.
Yeah, even though they played there previously and then left to go to Bridgeview.
Yeah. I think there's somebody in the Chicago Fire's management offices right now that's looking for a cardboard box. Well, it seemed like a good idea.
Isn't that kind of a big stadium, though?
What do you mean?
For the MLS?
I mean, I don't know. How big is it?
Well, what? the
Soldier Field. Oh, you were talking Soldier Field?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, of course, they did fill it for soccer the other night, 62,000.
Yeah, but they don't have U.S. and Mexico playing the Chicago Fire schedule. I think that they might be downsizing rather than going to Soldier Field. I don't know for sure. I'm just saying, I think.
Where else could they play, though?
You know, maybe a local college arena. I think, you know, a lot of these stadiums, like in Columbus and Seattle, are much smaller. So, it gives the feel of a big stadium. You can't go to a 60,000-seat stadium and expect, you know.
And have 10,000 people there. Yeah, and make it feel like a big stadium. Or a full house. All right, next. Volkswagen halting production of the Beetle. Now, we know someone, I don't want to say who, but someone who used to work on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Who has moved on to the University of Illinois,
mm-hmm,
who still does work for Channel 9, mm-hmm, name rhymes with Andrea Darlis, who bought a Beetle. She's been driving a Beetle.
She loves her Beetle.
Yeah. It's a cool little car.
It is cute.
CBS News reports the peak production in the United States was 563,000 VW Beetles were on the roads back in 1968. I did not know this. You know where the Beetle came from? It was a pet project of Adolf Hitler.
Yes.
You knew that?
I did know that, yeah.
Yeah.
Did he have one?
I don't know if he ever got one himself, but...
Do you imagine?
Apparently he or his people imagined it. And, you know, this kind of goes with the Woodstock anniversary. You know, it's the Woodstock anniversary. They haven't been able to get a reunion concert together, an anniversary concert together. Now the Beatles going away. You know, times change, Dave. Next thing you know, we'll have alligators in Humboldt Park.
Yeah, you just don't know what's coming next.
Next. We should get that guy some food. He sounds hungry to me. All-Star game last night, won again by the American League. How many years is that?
That's 7 in a row.
But that doesn't determine home field anymore.
No longer determines home field for the World Series.
Mike Trout and Tommy La Stella, former Cub, showed up to Tuesday's All-Star Game wearing number 45 jerseys in honor of Tyler Skaggs, who died on a Angels road trip to Texas last week. We still don't know what the cause of death was.
No, they still have not determined.
A kid was 27 years old?
Yes.
So nice tribute to Tyler Skaggs last night.
A lot of the players, I think most of them had 45 patches
but apparently they were like stick-on patches and they were falling off. So if you saw a player without one, that's why they didn't have it.
Yeah, that probably could have been done a little better.
Yeah, they had a bad tailor. Yeah.
Was that the same person who decided that the Fire should play in Bridgeview?
Maybe.
And it was good to see Tommy La Stella. I loved him when he was here.
I know you did.
There was also a cool moment when they do the stand-up for cancer in the fifth inning, and Carlos Carrasco of the Indians was diagnosed recently with leukemia.
Is that the cookie?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And so he was, you know, the guy that everybody focused on. But everybody holds up a card with the name of someone.
That's nice.
It's a really nice,
nice moment.
Baseball did a nice job with that.
CC Sabathia came out for a mound visit in the ninth. And it was the sole reason was for him to let the Cleveland fans give him a big round of applause.
It's cool.
Yeah, it was nice. He's retiring this year, yes?
I believe he is.
He's a big boy.
Yes, yes, he.
He's going to weigh 400 pounds in about 6 months after he retires. He's a big dude.
Yeah, he is.
Next. A new study suggests that legalizing... You know, does the alligator know that I'm supporting the alligator? Because the alligator sounds angry with me. A new study suggests that legalizing marijuana can actually make teenagers less likely to try it. Sort of counterintuitive here, but a 25-year survey by Montana State University found the teen use of cannabis dropped by 10% in areas where recreational marijuana is legal. One reason might be that it then becomes harder to get. You can't buy pot at a legal dispensary if you're a teen. You need to show ID, and currently 10 states have legalized recreational marijuana. 38 states have legalized it for medical purposes. Obviously, it's legal in Illinois as of when? January 1st, right?
Yes.
And finally this. One of the great comedy characters of all time, the producer of the Larry Sanders Show, Rip Torn, terrific character actor forever, is gone. Rip Torn died yesterday at the age of 88. He was nominated for the Academy Award Best Supporting Actor for his part as Marsh Turner in Cross Creek. He was nominated for 6 Emmys. He won one for playing Artie, Larry Sanders' producer.
He was great.
He was tremendous. And by the way, he was every great producer that's ever worked in show business.
Well, but he was modeled after Fred DiCordova.
Absolutely.
Right?
Kissing the talent's butt, mm-hmm. being an absolute pit bull behind the scenes. Yeah. According to the publicist, Torn passed away peacefully in the afternoon of his home in Lakeview, Connecticut. His wife, Amy, pardon me, and his daughter, Katie and Angelica, were by his side. He's a nice man, too. I met him a few times.
Did you?
Yeah. He didn't yell at me or anything. He's a nice guy. And he was in a Albert Brooks movie, Defending Your Life. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Wasn't he the casino? He wasn't the casino owner.
No, he was one of the people in heaven that was doing the judgment. Yes. I think it was Albert Brooks' attorney. He was representing him.
He was in Dodgeball, too.
That's right.
Yeah, Nick played a clip this morning of that.
You can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. That's your top six.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Well, I knew him like everybody in Palm Beach knew him. I mean, people in Palm Beach knew him. He was a fixture in Palm Beach. I had a falling out with him a long time ago. I don't think I've spoken to him for 15 years. I wasn't a fan. I was not, a long time ago. I'd say maybe 15 years.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Well, isn't that convenient? 644, Karen Conti, attorney at law. And entertainment guru as well. Hey, guru, what time are you on the radio?
Good morning. I'm on the radio on Sunday evenings from 7 to 9.
What if I needed you? How would I reach you?
Well, you can smoke signal is a good place, a good way to do it.
Well, so you're old school as well.
You can call me at 312-332-7800, or better yet, email me at wgn@askkarenconti.com.
Now, as you know, I want to be fair about this, so let's start with this perverted, deviant criminal, Jeffrey Epstein. You know, look, this is no secret who he is and what he's been, but now, thanks to some really terrific reporting by the Miami Herald, he is going to go to jail, and we hope for a very long time, if not the rest of his life. I think what people might be interested in knowing is this appeared to be over when he got his sweetheart deal in South Florida before, which was a year in prison, which basically involved him with in-and-out privileges. How did this come up again?
I think he was on the radar. I think that that sweet deal really angered a lot of people. I mean, there were 40 underage girls and women involved in that one. He pled guilty to one small count, served 13 months, but basically he was out of jail most of the time, and he had his own little wing in the Palm Beach prison. I mean, this was a sweet deal that the likes of which I've never seen, and it really just stinks to high heaven. And I think there are probably a lot of prosecutors out there saying, why did this guy get this deal when he is obviously guilty of a lot of crimes? And of course, he's continued to do it. And now we don't just have the sex and the massages and the underage girls. We have pictures. And the pictures, you know, child pornography is a very serious crime. And you don't need a whole lot of witnesses for that. You need the pictures. And it looks like they pulled them from his home. And it looks like he's in deep trouble.
He had them in labeled files. I mean, you talk about cocky. You talk about somebody who figured, well, I'm good to go now. I'll never get caught. So the inference here, and it's easy to go to the big movie solution to this, is that a lot of really wealthy, rich, powerful people in all aspects of life are involved in the same sort of deviant behavior, and that he's going to name all of them to try to lessen his sentence. What do we know about the possibilities of that?
Well, you know, I don't know how much that's going to get him a deal, because I think the focus is on him. And I mean, he's 66 years old. The time that he's looking at is going to put him in jail forever. And so he says, Alan Dershowitz or Bill Clinton or all these people that have been named that rode what we call that they call he called the Lolita Express. How's that for a name of his airplane? You know, the fact that they were on his airplane doesn't mean anything necessarily, but my guess is, yes, there's going to be people here who did some bad things with him and have a, you know, predilection for this kind of thing. I don't think it's going to reduce his sentence one bit. I just don't.
Alan Dershowitz is involved in this. We don't entirely know how. Trump has been implicated prior to him running for president. Clinton, after he got out of the office. You know, it feels like a lot of dominoes could fall, but if he's not offered any sort of sweet deal, why would he talk?
Yeah, I just don't think that's going to get him out. I think he's the target has been on him, and you know the ramifications of this. I mean, should be massive. I mean, we saw the whole Jussie Smollett thing play out, and we didn't like the way the prosecutor handled it. And whether it was something terrible that she did, or she just didn't handle it very well. I think the latter probably. We are now getting a special prosecutor to look into it, so we know why were the charges brought and why were they dropped so quickly, and was he given privilege because of his situation and his his connections. The same thing should be done in this case. I mean, our Secretary of Labor was the prosecutor who cut this sweet deal for this guy. And he's sitting there, and he's in charge of our work laws in our country and in the human trafficking laws. I mean, here's the guy who's the fox in the hen house. I mean, that to me is something that we should look at and maybe get him to step down.
Well, there's talk, too, that they're going to cut, that Acosta's department, and Acosta's the guy we're talking about here, he's the South Florida state's attorney for the United States who set up the sweet deal, that he is proposing an 80% cut to funding for sex trafficking by the government.
I mean, doesn't that stink? I don't care if you like Donald Trump or you don't like Donald Trump. That just stinks, and he needs to step down.
And could he face charges?
No, I mean, unless there was money being paid or some secret, you know, nefarious thing going on where people were bribing him or doing something like that. No, I mean, a bad decision. I mean, these prosecutors have a lot of discretion in what they do, and it's rightfully so. But this one, I mean, I think we should have a special prosecutor look into how this deal was cut. It makes no sense.
We'll come back, talk about several other legal stories in the news, including the tragedy of little AJ Friend, also the women's soccer team and their push for equal pay, and that hideous murder trial in Peoria where we may still have capital punishment in Illinois, even if you didn't know we did. .654, back to Karen Conti. Sunday nights on WGN. All right, little AJ Friend, remind people who he is.
Well, he was a little boy who was basically beaten to death out in the suburbs, and he died, and the parents are now being charged with murder. One of them is an attorney, which is interesting. Just a sad case because just the torturous history of this little boy. I mean, he was born with opiates in his body. He was taken away from his parents for 18 months, given back to his parents, and just seems like he lived a sad life of neglect and obviously abuse. And now the state of the little boy is talking about bringing a lawsuit against the DCFS.
The folks at DCFS, we've said this many times, 99% of the folks at DCFS go to work every day, work hard, have less than needed resources, are doing the jobs of more than one person, and are doing the best they can. There are some who have dropped the ball, and those people need to be weeded out. Whether a lawsuit helps solve that or not, I don't know. But this whole story is just sad and tragic.
It is sad, and because they work for the government, there's immunity, which means that you have to prove more than just they messed up. You've got to prove almost a malicious act. And frankly, you know, if you really look at the allegations here, and again, I'm not defending what the parents did or the DCFS, I'm just saying that they have so many cases where kids are living in squalor, and it's messy, and the electricity goes off for days at a time, and people say to themselves, oh, take the kids away, but they can't. You can't take away kids unless they are truly in harm's way, and there's a big difference between living in a messy condition than living in a house that poses a danger. So that's where the line gets drawn, and I've talked to the DCFS people, and they say, if it's messy, that's one thing. If it's messy and it's going to fall and hurt them, then that is where the line gets drawn, and certainly beating a child, and certainly, you know, that's again where the line gets drawn. But you know, they've been, these parents have been in and out of the system, and it was just something that, I don't know, maybe we need a better system, but there's all kinds of perils too. Taking kids away from family members is a very difficult thing to do, even in a bad situation. So,
well, you know, Ross, my son Ross is working in the foster care system now with the foundation Let It Be Us. And they work closely with DCFS and all those situations, but he's well aware of situations where foster kids go into foster care, and then there's nervousness about them going back with their parents. But the courts rightly believe that the best case for any child is to grow healthily in a house with loving parents. But imagine what it's like to be a DCFS worker, and you've taken a child out of a difficult circumstance. The parents have convinced the courts it's time for the child to go back, and you feel like it's a roll of the dice. I can't imagine that job.
It's horrible, and a lot of these kids are taken out. Maybe they've got brothers and sisters that they're away from. It's never a good solution. Sometimes the foster parents, you know, aren't up to speed either. I mean, and the DCFS gets sued all the time by taking them out and putting them into foster homes that may not be a loving home. So it's, the whole thing is a big mess, and you just sometimes wonder why people like this have children, right?
Yeah, the ability to have children doesn't mean you should. Yes. Brent Christensen, explain who he is.
He's on trial for murder in Peoria. He admitted to having murdered a student, a Chinese national, who was a student at the University of Illinois. He admitted it, and now we are in the death penalty phase of the jury trial, which is interesting because, as we all know, Illinois doesn't have a death penalty anymore. We abolished it in 2011. But they charged this guy under federal death penalty law. They really wanted to get him. And the reason that they were able to do that was the victim was a Chinese national, and that would allow them to charge in the federal system, which still has a death penalty, not used very often at all. They usually use it on terrorism and the Timothy McVeighs of the world. But so now the jury is hearing whether or not we should put this guy to death or he should be able to live out his life in prison. Very interesting case.
So what happens, the nuts and bolts of this, can an Illinois jury determine his fate?
Yeah, the Illinois jury is doing that. So the first part of the trial is he guilty or innocent? That first part was fairly easy because he basically admitted that he did it. So the jury found him guilty, and immediately the judge says, all right, now we're going to the death penalty phase, and the jury will recommend a sentence. So now we're hearing from the shrinks who are saying this guy, you know, had mental issues and he had trouble and he was a drinker and he's not that terrible and his parents loved him anyway. And then you're going to hear from the victim's family about how horrible this crime was and how it's affected them. So the jury gets to decide based upon that evidence whether or not there's any reason to keep him alive. And it's a tough decision they're going to have to make.
USA Soccer says they are looking into it as fast as they can. The women's soccer team has proven beyond a shadow of a doubt how good they are. Are they entitled to equal pay, and will they get it?
Yeah, the lawsuit's a good one. It's an interesting one. The defense is going to be, of course, you know, equal pay for equal work. But their defense is going to be, listen, the dynamics are different in women's sports. There's not as much revenue, and therefore there's not as much money to go around to play the players. And that's probably a fact. They're also saying that this was not exactly equal work because the men do have other obligations and responsibilities. So you can't compare the two. And that's their defense. Their defense is not going to be these women don't deserve to be paid. But if you look at the pay, I mean, the men are being paid at least three or four times what women are being paid. Again, is the revenue the same? You know, it might be. I think this last World Cup, boy, people were watching it. And I think maybe even I read somewhere that the number of people watching the women exceeded the number watching the men. So,
yeah, and also the number one jersey, all-time selling jersey, is from the USA women's soccer team. The revenue numbers are, of course, provided by USA Soccer. Not that they're fudging the numbers, but that has to be proven as well. I guess I wouldn't want to be the attorney on the side of trying to prove that it's better to pay the women less.
Exactly. And interestingly, the men's soccer has come out and supported this lawsuit, which is a good sign. So hopefully there'll be a resolution. And yes, I do see some differences, you know, and you can't compare both teams. But I think it would be a good step in the right direction to give them some more money and make sure that there's at least some comparable compensation.
Thanks for making us smarter, Karen.
So welcome.
Well, I mean the audience, not me. I mean, you've tried with me for years. There's only so much you can do. Enjoy your week.
Okay, take care.
That's Karen Conti. We're back with the news next. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve Grzanich will be.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
And Funkadelic Flashlight. Do you know they don't write them like this anymore? 717, Steve Cochran Show continues. Just ahead of President Trump calling. Still to come on this show in this hour, we've got a most valuable person on the planet. You know who's on the show next hour?
Who's that?
Dean, Moron Entertainment. You know who else is on the show?
Who else?
Steve Dahl.
Really? Again?
Many would say exactly what you just said. Steve Dahl and I will be on the air together again for the second time this year. I asked Steve to come on because, you know, it's the anniversary of Disco Demolition.
Yes. I think it's, is it for
100 years today?
Friday. Oh, is today?
It's 100th anniversary.
Friday.
No, yeah, I think it's Friday. Friday. But anyway, Mr. Dahl will join us. And as I've said many times, radio is better when he's on it. You're looking at me like, when did you two start getting along?
No, when did you say that?
I've said it many times. I just don't know if I said it out loud to you.
Possibly. I've just never heard you say it.
Yeah. Later, loser.
Oh, boy, here we go. He's calling now.
Later, loser.
It's President Trump.
Later, loser.
Probably should change that ringtone. Good morning, Mr. President.
Hey, good morning, Cochran. So what fake news do I need to correct for you this morning?
Listen, sir, we all know the only fake news is the stuff you watch, read, and listen to. So how are you?
Doing tremendously well.
Okay. Have you talked to the World Cup champions ladies soccer team yet? Are you inviting them from the Capitol to the White House? What do we know?
You know, and how dare, speaking of the Capitol, how dare Speaker Pergrossi try to one-up me and have them over to the Capitol? I mean, it's completely up to them, but where would you rather go? Over to Grandma's house for a Botox party with some gluten-free lady fingers? Or be at the White House for an all-you-can-eat Mickey D's Big Mac, KFC's Chicken Cheetos, Arby's Bacon Beef and Cheddar Sandwich Blowout?
Well,
I think the choice is clear.
I think you're right about that. Have you tried the chicken and cheese thing at KFC?
Oh, I love it. Spicy. Just enough spice.
The Cheetos, they don't make your fingers orange?
I can't tell the difference.
So the team's coming to the White House. At least that's your hope.
Yes, the women's soccer team's absolutely invited to the White House. I'm not that petty. Come on. Except for the ones who hate me and have already said she won't come. She's not invited.
Okay.
And anyone else on the team who might also not like me but hasn't said so publicly, okay, they're not invited either.
Okay, nope.
But all the other players who love me and think I'm awesome, which I assume is 99% of them, they can come.
Okay.
Matter of fact, Vice President Pence was really looking forward to having them over here. I don't know if you knew this, but Mike was one of the best male cheerleaders his high school women's soccer team ever had. That's until he ruptured his pelvis on a dismount. Isn't that right, Mike?
You're absolutely correct, Your Eminence. One very powerful young lady threw me into the air, and I over-rotated, landing hard on my fanny. Mother laughs at me every time I tell the story.
Sir, your 4th of July speech was interesting. You're there at the Lincoln Memorial, and you said George Washington's army took over the airports. Now, you said the teleprompter stopped working because of it raining and stuff. Has the writer of the speech been fired?
Well, first of all, can I just say what a tremendous celebration we had at the Lincoln Memorial, Cochran?
Yeah, sure.
You should have been there. We had a Navy Blue Angels flyover and huge tanks at the D.C. Mall. Huge tanks.
Huge.
They were right between Pottery Barn and the Gap. Great, great time. But to answer your question...
Yes.
You know, it would be tough to fire the speechwriter because the speech was written by my son, Eric.
Oh, you're less intelligent, son.
You know, he seemed pretty excited about it, so I thought I'd throw him a bone, let him write something for me. You know, I knew I should have had Don Jr. or Ivanka proofread it first, so that's on me. That's on me. But frankly, it could have been a lot worse. You want to hear the part of his first draft, what they edited out?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It says... And let us never forget those brave young men who rappelled in from helicopters with their laser scope rifles and heroically captured General Don Cornelius and allowed George Washington to drive our troops to Virginia in a beautiful 1775 four-door Continental Congress.
Well, he obviously did his homework. Now, we heard you disinvited the British ambassador, who's now going to step down, if you've heard the news this morning. Private messages were leaked. He called you inept, insecure, incompetent. Does this upset you? How do you respond?
You know what? This so-called British ambassador is a complete embarrassment, okay? He really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you like that? He's just another one of those incredibly jealous guys who likes to talk a lot of crap through the 3 horribly stained crooked teeth that he has. It's ridiculous. This British guy thinks I'm incompetent. Every British person, every single one, drives on the wrong side of the road.
Yeah.
Now that's incompetent.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
And I'm not insecure either. I'm the most secure person in the entire world, Cochran.
Okay.
Let me ask you something. Would an insecure person put his name in giant letters on all his buildings so everyone would know they're his? Would any insecure person spend 4 hours a day tweeting at people who made fun of him? Would an insecure person seek the approval of the president of Russia in a way that's totally cool and not desperate? The answer's no. It's no, Cochran, in case you were wondering. That's the work of a secure person. Next question.
All right, Sal, listen, I didn't mean to upset you. You know me, I never mean to upset you. Sir, Michelle and Barack Obama have held back on endorsing Joe Biden. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, other than the fact that Sleepy Joe's now out on a nationwide African-American apology tour, you know, in all fairness, he's sucking up to more black people for votes than a white rapper at the BET Awards, okay?
Speaking of the Democrats, Congressman Eric Swalwell has become the first 2020 presidential candidate to end his campaign. Did you know him? What do you think?
Eric Swalwell, or as his family likes to call him, who? Look, I will tell you, it's hard to believe that a guy with a name that sounds like you're pronouncing it with a hair lip would be the first one to go. But, you know, it's kind of sad, frankly. I lost the office pool of which ridiculously named candidate was going to drop out first. The smart money was on Hickenlooper or Klobuchar.
It sounds like a bad law firm, doesn't it? Hickenlooper, Klobuchar? Well,
and Swalwell.
What about this billionaire, Tom Steyer, who's been trying to get you impeached?
Wow, just when you thought they were thinning out the herd of 83 candidates, in jumps another loser.
You're in rare form today, sir. Mr. President, the billionaire founder of Home Depot, Bernie Marcus, has said he's going to be giving some of his fortune to your 2020 reelection campaign. Now, some shoppers have started the hashtag Boycott Home Depot. Is that fair?
Now, look, let me start by saying that Home Depot founder Bernie Marcus, tremendous guy.
Uh-huh.
Tremendous guy. I love his whole family, especially his little brother Neiman Marcus. He gets me great deals on jewelry for Ivanka. I mean, Melania. That, seriously, I'm not really worried about this. Nobody's going to boycott Home Depot. Nobody's going to do that. I mean, it's where every proud, hardworking American goes to get lumber, drywall, roofing materials, and Mexicans to jump in their truck and go and build everything.
Excuse me, sir, but you have a call on the other line of Labor Secretary Acosta.
I'm not here. You never saw me, Mike. I'm firing up the golf simulator after I get rid of Cochran.
Yes, my liege.
Hey, I didn't hear that with Vice President Pence, but I'm sure you're busy. So thanks for calling, President Trump.
Later, loser.
So, President Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Firing up the golf simulator after he gets rid of me.
So General Don Cornelius?
You didn't know about that?
No.
It's in all the history books. 7:25 when we come back, the most valuable person on the planet. Hey, Steve, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Got that ticker tape parade in New York today. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where are they getting paper?
You know, I think it's just maybe shredded paper.
It's recycled.
Yeah.
They always say that.
But that's a lot of, you need a lot of paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, remember the days when there were actual ticker tape parades?
Sure. It was easy to get paper then. Yeah,
this is paper that used to be in the teletype machines behind Walter Cronkite on the CBS Evening News.
And they never cleared it out?
They kept it.
Yeah. I think it's all shredded. So they've shredded it in a way that it looks like ticker tape. And so.
Since it's all on computer now, if they run out of paper, are they just going to start throwing monitors and keyboards out the window as well?
I think the next step is VR, virtual reality ticker tape parades, where they just have the goggles on and they'll just drive down the street.
Yeah,
and it will look to them like ticker tape.
And or the whole parade will be on an app.
Exactly.
Yeah. Why don't they blow bubbles? That'd be more fun.
They're honoring today the women's soccer team in the Canyon of Heroes in New York. Good luck with the paper problem.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
An incredible facility like Lurie's Children's Hospital needs a lot of help, a lot of volunteers. And one of the most amazing groups of volunteers is called Musicians on Call. Tell us more about that. This morning's MVPP, Anna Meehan. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing fine. Musicians, and how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for the work you're doing. Musicians on Call. First off, what type of musician are you?
Not a musician. I am a guide with Musicians on Call.
Okay.
So there's two types of volunteering and Musicians on Call. One is to be a volunteer guide, and they kind of know the location of the healthcare facility back and forth. And we are responsible for bringing the musician all throughout the hospital to use their talents to play for patients.
You don't want oboe players wandering around getting lost. You need to tell them where they're going.
You don't. No, they got to know where to go.
That's what we're talking about. All right, so Musicians on Call does what?
So we are a national nonprofit that brings live and recorded music to the bedsides of patients all across the country. So we have volunteers in 20 different major markets and cities across the U.S., and the organization is actually celebrating its 20-year anniversary this year, which is a huge achievement.
Yeah, nice run.
Yeah, and it started the Chicago chapter just last year, so we're just up and getting moving, and we're in Ann and Robert Lurie Children's Hospital, Chicago Methodist Senior Services, and the Shirley Ryan Ability Lab.
Give me an example of what type of musicians may come in and play.
It's a little bit of everybody. So we have a lot of folks who are kind of singer-songwriters playing their guitar and playing some of those awesome songs. It depends on what facility you're in. So obviously if you're in a children's hospital, you got to have some nursery rhymes ready to go for those younger kids. And if you're in kind of an adult care facility or a veterans hospital somewhere across the country, you got to have a few of those oldies ready to go.
Now, can they make requests of particular musicians or types of musicians? Can a family do that?
Again, our volunteers kind of run the gamut. So whether it's a one-person guitarist or a few people coming in to sing, it's really the organization is run by those volunteers. And they're so great at connecting with the patients and their families. So sometimes patients and families will be like, do you know anything by Bob Dylan? And then oftentimes our guitarists and our musicians know a little bit of something from that and can really spark some joy for those folks.
Sounds like very rewarding work.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel grateful for those moments that we share with patients and families.
Got a website you want to throw out too, by the way?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're interested in volunteering, which I definitely think you should be, whether it be as a guide or if you are a little bit more talented as a musician, we would love for you to join us. So all you have to do is apply online at musiciansoncall.org/volunteer, and I promise you that it will provide you as much fun and empowering and healing moments as the experiences provide for those patients and their families.
That's very cool. What are you doing when you're not doing this?
So I work at a learning and development firm, so up in Lakeview, so I love to live in Chicago, and do this as a volunteer on the side.
Very
nice. So it's a great way to kind of flex a little bit of my creativity, even though I am not doing the actual singing or musicianship playing.
Dave, I don't know that that's true. Don't you hear in Anna the kind of thing that maybe she'll break out in song at some point?
I think it could happen any minute.
Yeah, could possibly happen.
You never know.
All right, Anna, we want to get more volunteers in again, so what's the website one more time?
Absolutely. www.musiciansoncall.org. And if you want to volunteer, just /volunteer or find a volunteer page on our homepage. We would love to have you join us.
And you are the most valuable person on the planet.
I don't know about that, but thank you very much. It's very generous.
A lot of pressure. 7:34, back with your headlines next. 7:20 WGN. I got blocked into a parking space for half an hour. And I got the Tahoe. Tahoe's a big car.
White lighting.
Yeah, white lighting. The guy's blocking me from behind, and then there's another car about 10 feet to my left that's also blocking me. As a civilized society, can't we all just get along? You don't block people in parking spaces. You just don't. I think I figured out how to fix parking in Chicago.
How's that?
Mobile valets. So I know I need a space, and some kid shows up at my place where I'm going, and I'm willing to pay for this kid to either sit in my car right on the street or drive it around for a while.
Okay, a couple of questions come to mind.
Go ahead.
How does he get to you?
Not my problem. He's just got to get there.
If he drives, where does he put his car?
Got to go with someone nearby.
There's always somebody nearby.
There's a simpler solution. You can always downsize from the giant car.
What, are you crazy?
I'm just... absolutely not. No.
Absolutely not. No way. No. No, can do. Sorry.
The answer is no! Absolutely not!
An outrageous suggestion that I drive a normal-sized car. How dare you, Steve Grzanich? How dare you?
They make pretty small ones that run on batteries now.
He was going to buy a Beetle, but they're not making those anymore.
Yeah, that was my deal today. No more Beetles. Oh, geez. How ridiculous would I look in a VW Beetle? My giant head? Like a Beetle driving a Beetle. cool thing going on for the USO, speaking of cars, and 110 Chicagoland new car dealers hosting the USO barbecue for the troop fundraiser Saturday. The CAT, you know, the CATA people, my great partners at WGN Radio and Television forever, and Chicago Automobile Trade Association, and partnering with USO of Illinois. They've raised tons of money for USO of Illinois. So for the seventh consecutive year, they get together and do it again. And here's the legend, Bill Haggerty, to tell me more. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Steve.
How's biz?
Biz isn't too bad, thanks. It's nice to have nice weather in the summer, and that certainly helps. It's a lot more fun to shop for cars in the summer than walking around this Chicago polar vortex season.
Now, let me ask you a question. Is it true that a little rain is good for business, but a lot of rain, nobody comes in?
A little rain is good. People like to be out in their yards in the summertime, and if it's raining, you can't do that. So it gives them, it's like going to the mall when it's raining. You can go to the car dealership, too.
A little off and on, a little drizzle, not so bad. Downpour, nobody's coming out.
Nobody wants to be out in a downpour. I don't think we have enough umbrellas for some of the downpours around here.
So, 2019 USO barbecue for the troops. All right, Saturday, where and when?
Saturday, it's July 13th. It's going to be at 115 local area new car dealers, and we're very excited. It's the seventh year we're doing this. First 6 years, we've been able to raise $750,000 for the wonderful military men and women of the USO of Illinois. So, the place to find the participating dealers, you can go to drivechicago.com, the website, and that'll list all the dealers. So,
and that about everybody? 115 dealers, that's a lot of dealers.
It's a lot of dealers. It's very good participation. We started 6 years ago, 7 years ago, with I think 30 or 40 dealers participated, so we're growing it each year. We still have a ways to go. We're I don't think we're quite at the halfway mark, but we're working towards it.
What are you cooking? Burgers, dogs, the whole deal?
We're cooking the whole deal, and, you know, listening to the radio station this morning, I wonder if someone can catch an alligator in Humboldt Park. Maybe somebody will be cooking alligator, too.
Well, you know, they taste like angry chickens. don't know if you know that. So head out to your local dealership. Again, a complete list of new car dealers hosting USO Barbecue for the Troops events is at drivechicago.com. Social media, hashtag it up at hashtag BBQ, the number 4 troops. That's BBQ, the number 4 troops. And you can also enter to win the ultimate backyard barbecue by nominating somebody you know who could use some help, a service member.
Can I add a little addition to that? The master chef from Real Urban Barbecue is going to be giving the ultimate backyard barbecue, cooking his specialties, and the Blackhawks are going to send their ambassador Chris Chelios to come crash your party. And
how great is that?
Take some pictures, hang out, and just have a great afternoon.
You know, I've been around Chelly enough to know that sometimes he will have flashbacks. He's checked me into the wall a few times. Yeah. So I'm just warning people. They have Chelly over to the house. It's a great program, and it's a great thing for you guys to do, and it also should be a great thing for people to get together on Saturday, have some good food, and help support the USO, which does a great job of supporting not just troops, but families of troops as well. So
We're looking forward to a great afternoon. It's for a great event, for a great cause, and the wonderful people of Chicago can dig into their pockets a little bit and give a little bit to the USO. It'll be great.
All right, Bill. I appreciate your help and appreciate everything that CATA does. Get out there and sell some cars.
We will. Thank you for what you do for us.
All right. Take care, man. That's Bill Haggerty. I don't think I can tell the guy that owns the place to get out there and sell some cars, can I? I mean, that's the people that work for him.
Yeah, but I'm sure he...
Still knows how.
Yeah, it's like riding a bicycle.
Yes.
Or driving a car.
Or buying a bicycle.
Yes.
Yes. He didn't tell him to go out and clean the cars.
I'm sure he does that, too.
Probably.
You know, if you got your name on the place, you're still doing all of it, right?
You want it to look good. Yeah.
Right? You're paying the bills.
Making the popcorn.
You're the guy that comes in and notices somebody dropped a little speck of something on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You're picking it up. You know, it was a good example of that. Are the folks out at Arlington Park.
I was going to say, Dick Duchessois.
Mr. Duchessois is 94?
Somewhere 95? Around there. Yeah, might be.
I think he's older, actually.
Older, yeah.
Until recently, and I mean in the last couple of years, I would see him, and he always looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, he's dressed in the suit. You know, he's walking along. He's bending over, picking up scraps of paper that might have fallen.
Oh, yeah.
So. Most people his age aren't around to bend over, let alone being able to bend over, and he was still doing it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, again, it's his place.
Yeah, it's pride in where you are, what you've done, what you've created and accomplished.
So we get it. And for all of you that own businesses, we salute you this morning. Boy, a spectacular morning in Chicago. I only wish I could open the shades behind me so I could see it. But the sunshine is so bright, bouncing off the lake and the river, that if it refracts off the back of my bald head, ships will think I'm somehow messaging them.
Yeah, it's like a big lighthouse.
Yeah.
And it blinds me.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't see anything.
Right. So,
Mr. Duchessois, by the way, is 97.
97?
Yeah. Yes.
Man, what a great story he is, too.
Sure is.
You know, they thought he was dead in World War II?
Yes.
There was a corpsman who saw him wiggle a finger. They thought he'd been killed. I think it was it Battle of the Bulge?
I believe so.
Saw him wiggle a finger, and they went, whoa, 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 wait. And they took him aside and got him medical care.
Unbelievable.
So just know that in downtown Chicago, I don't know where you're listening in the world today, but if you're in the Midwest, you're having a beautiful day. Around the country, if your weather sucks, you should get to Chicago as soon as possible because it's spectacular here. Yeah. Crazy schedule the next couple of days. A little bit crazy anyway. I won't be here tomorrow. And on Friday, we're going to be live at the WGN-TV block party in Naperville. Now, Friday, I'm off. But since it's close to the summer house, I'm going to come by the block party. I'm coming by the block party.
Look at you.
Steve, what an example you're setting for the staff of WGN Radio. I mean, just the TV for that matter.
That's exactly
just
right.
Just think about it.
Either that or I'm sucking up to the new owners and it's close to my house. I mean, it could be that.
Oh, I doubt it's
that. It could be that. Might be that.
That's so unlike you.
Could be that.
I'll just hope Dean doesn't put you in the dunk tank.
Yeah, that would not be good.
Yeah. Better wear your suit just in case.
It's supposed to be hot on Friday.
Yeah, I think we're dealing with this all week.
I'm going to the dunk tank. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't be so bad.
I'm not going to tee off about 9:30, so I got to be careful.
We'll remember you said that, Dave.
Yeah.
But it's a TV thing. It's not. We don't. The dunk tank's not really a radio prop,
right? But you work for TV too.
I believe the dunk tank is a radio prop because you can hear the paddle, the flip of the paddle, and then you going help me, help me.
You would swearing need as you go
someone
down.
To describe the play by play on that.
Yes. You know that'd be cool if you did the play by play of yourself being dunked.
No, I don't think so.
Here's the pitch. There I go. Right
waterproof
into the water.
Mike, we'll be fine.
Hey, we're working on something here. I don't know if it's going to happen, but we're working on getting an exclusive interview this morning with the alligator in Humboldt Park.
No way.
We're hoping to get the alligator from Humboldt Park. No, the alligator's not talking to anybody at this point.
And nobody can find him right now either.
No, the alligator's not happy. But we have reason to believe. We've talked to the alligator's people.
Mm-hmm.
We have reason to believe we're going to get the alligator on before 10 o'clock.
Is that because he knows the bull?
The alligator does know the bull. It's funny you say that. Yeah, they've seen each other at meetings. It's 7:55. What's coming up today?
Steve, the alligator has been spotted again overnight. We've seen video of it this morning, captured overnight by TV crews. And experts are saying it could take days or even weeks to safely trap the alligator and remove it from the lagoon. We'll have more on it coming up at 8 o'clock from the WGN newsroom.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Get up off of that thing and dance to do you better. Get up off of that thing and dance to do. Sing it now. Get up off of that thing and dance to you feel better. Get up off of that thing and try to release that pressure.
I remember at a funeral for my grandmother we played this. It's one of her favorite songs. She loved James.
What?
It's the Steve Cochran Show as we continue. That tone means it's 8 o'clock. We'll get to the news here in just a second. Amy McGrath is a veteran. Joe, this is Cut Chen. Amy McGrath is a veteran, and she's running against Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell, who likes to be known as Darth Vader and the Grim Reaper now in Washington. He's running around turning everything he touches to crap and loving every minute of it. Amy McGrath is running against him in Kentucky. It's a tough climb. He's got a lot of money behind him. But he is also every day angering more and more people with his actions, with his self-centeredness, with his lack of concern in being the leader of the Senate, and his greater concern and just turning the government upside down, making it all entirely Republican. And again, of course, you know, that's my number one complaint about the president of the United States. It was my number one complaint with Barack Obama. You're not the president of the Democrats. Donald Trump, you're not president of the Republicans. You're president of the United States. So how do you get rid of Mitch McConnell? Well, this ad is pretty upfront and straight about the problem. Here's Amy McGrath for U.S. Senate.
Everything that's wrong in Washington had to start someplace. How did it come to this? That even within our own families, we can't talk to each other about the leaders of our country anymore without anger and blame. Well, it started with this man who was elected a lifetime ago and who has, bit by bit, year by year, turned Washington into something we all despise, where dysfunction and chaos are political weapons, where budgets and health care and the Supreme Court are held hostage. A place where ideals go to die.
How about that? Amy McGrath for U.S. Senate. You're listening in Kentucky this morning, or you know somebody that lives in Kentucky, spread the word about this candidate. Well worth a look. Mitch McConnell's got to go. Joe, what was it like the last time he was on the show? Did you think he and I got along really well?
Yeah, that was a good time. Yeah. She raised about $2.5 million in her first day yesterday.
Good start. Yep. That's very impressive.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than what I should.
It is 8:13. Dean Richards will be there live Friday for the big black party.
Dean, sponsored by Ravinia, as we get into more on entertainment here, Dean.
It's going to be a very big weekend because in the morning we've got the block party in downtown Naperville, doing the WGN TV morning news, but also the WGN radio morning show.
That'd be the Steve Cochran show?
That would be the Steve Cochran show, but Steve Cochran won't be there.
Yes, I will.
Oh, you will be
there? Yes, I will be there.
You're just not hosting the show.
No, Justin Kaufman will be hosting. I will be there wandering around going, Dean, what are you doing now? Dean, what's that over there? Dean, why did it point that camera at you? Dean, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. Is that cool if I do that?
Fortunately, I have security with me all morning. So Steve is going to get arrested Friday morning. You want to be listening for that.
Now, it's not just the morning. It's a long day for you. What are you doing at night?
Well, we'll do the show in the morning, and we've got some big-name bands I want to tell you about in a second. But then that night, thank you, Ravinia, for sponsoring Moron Entertainment.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure they're extremely proud to be associated with the Moron brand.
Yeah, they want us to do a Moron show at Ravinia as long as there's no crowd.
They wanted to do it in December.
Yeah, empty pavilion.
Yeah, an empty outdoor pavilion in December. So I'll be at Ravinia hosting the West Side Story night, where they're going to show the movie West Side Story up on big screens throughout the festival. And the Chicago Symphony Orchestra will play the score live. I will give a pre-show discussion, chat, before all of that starts.
We should give away a pair of tickets, Super Joe.
Try to hold down your enthusiasm, Joe.
Super Joe was talking about something else.
Hey, Dean, I'm going to be there. Would you like me to record it on my phone so you can watch it later, see how it went?
Yeah, I don't like to watch myself.
All right, here's what we do have, Dean. We have a pair of lawn tickets to Ravinia to see Ghostbusters with you.
Oh, fun. That's going to be on July 21st.
Yeah, so that's coming up right around the corner anyway.
Right.
So you can get the Ghostbusters tickets with Dean. If you want to go tomorrow night, you pay you, cheapskate. 312-981.
Friday night.
If you want to go tomorrow night, don't go. 312
Go Friday night, but I won't be there.
No, you'll be there Friday night. You won't be there tomorrow night.
Right. I'll be in Los Angeles tomorrow.
Why are you going to L.A.?
I'm extremely busy these next few days. I'm going to see Lion King. I'm going to see the Lion King, and then we'll interview the cast of...
Why don't you wait till it opens here? Save you a flight.
I would rather go there.
Paralon tickets to Ravinia to see Ghostbusters. That's a week from Sunday.
Ghostbusters is the 21st.
Yeah, a week from Sunday. Celebrating its... No, is that right? Yeah, it's a week from Sunday. Celebrating its 35th anniversary with the score performed by the CSO, and then Dean will be in the beginning.
I'm gonna give my
busting
pre-show.
Ghosts.
Right.
Wow, that sounds awesome.
That's Super Joe's enthusiasm now that I actually listen to him. Get tickets at ravinia.org, R-A-V-I-N-I-A, ravinia.org. All right, this block party, you got music coming in?
We do. We have, you know, usually we have nice bands that come out and join us, and usually they just play one song. But for the block party this year, we've got two of the biggest bands. In fact, the two bands that are headlining Taste of Chicago on Saturday.
Rolling Stones?
Are going to be performing at the morning show block party.
Madonna?
On Friday. We don't have either of those lined up.
What do you have?
But we do have a couple of huge bands that a lot of people are super excited about. The Strumbellas are
going to
be performing in the 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah, they're great.
And Lovely, the band, will be performing in the 9 o'clock
hour. Well, that's very cool.
And like little mini concerts, not just one song, but like a little mini concert that they're each going to do each hour.
We're
going to
do that thing where you climb up on my shoulders and pump your fists again?
Yeah. Bic lighter. Waving a Bic lighter back and forth.
I have to get my stretching in before. That's this Friday morning, and the Steve Cochran Show will be there live. Justin will do the primary hosting, heavy lifting, while I wander around and go, does anyone need an autograph? Because I know where Dean is.
See how many people mistake us for each other.
That's a good point. That could be funny. We could play Guess Who's Dean.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Who's Dean, Guess Who's Steve.
Yeah. Is Larry going to show up?
Larry will be there. Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad.
None of them are calling in sick.
Not so far.
How about Pat Tomasulo?
Pat Tomasulo is going to be there.
Banana Balaval.
Banana Balaval. We're all going to be there. The whole gang. Everybody.
Marcus Leshock.
Everybody.
Sarah Jindra.
Yep.
Mike Toomey.
Mike Toomey will be there.
All of them will be there. Bozo the Clown.
No Bozo.
Oh.
Yeah.
So close. Block Party includes the music you mentioned and details on all of it, WGNRadio.com/events. And we should thank the very handsome general manager of WGN Radio and Television, Paul Rennie.
Yes.
and the terrifically talented news and operations director, Jen Lyons, for making this happen.
I heard that both of them are setting up kissing booths.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
Yep.
Because what I heard is Jen Lyons said, I will only approve this if Steve Cochran's not there. So
I know there was a lot of negotiation about you being there. I didn't know.
She's going to be excited
to
see
what the details were for all that.
Jen, it's me! No, Jen's lovely, and we get along very well, Dean. I don't know why you'd start a rumor like that. Coming up, Rip Torn.
At least right to your face.
Rip Torn. Friends news, Lady Gaga news, Woodstock news, and... there's a media mogul in the weed business that Dean's going to tell you about.
Right.
I should probably invest, huh?
Well, yeah, everybody's doing it, Steve. Everyone's getting into the weed business.
And I don't mean invest like the old days where you buy weed from a guy named Larry.
Out of your car? No.
No.
No, those days are over, apparently, now.
No, this is legal weed.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 7-2-0.
It is 8:24. We continue now with more on entertainment sponsored by Ravinia. And congratulations to Cheryl from Calumet City, who just won the tickets to see Dean and the Ghostbusters situation at Ravinia a week from Sunday night.
That's fun.
So there you go. All right, let's jump in. Which
may have a special guest with me on Friday at Ravinia. I'm trying to line it up.
It's Dave Bennett?
Not confirmed yet, but I'm trying to get that alligator that's in the lagoon.
Oh, that
just
would be cool.
Set him loose in Ravinia.
That'd be hilarious. By the way, we are still hoping to have an exclusive interview with the alligator on this show before 10.
Wow.
Now, the weasel producers there at Channel 9 normally steal my guests, but in this case, we won't tell you when it's going to happen, so you won't be able to swipe
them. That's a good idea. You got to protect that way.
Can't
they are weasels.
The alligator, like on a blanket on the lawn with a candelabra and a glass of wine.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Enjoying a night at Ravinia.
Yeah.
You know, Dean, I made the point earlier. The alligator swimming around the lagoon, doesn't recognize anybody that looks like him. What if he breeds with something else in the lagoon?
Oh.
Now you got yourself a movie.
Yeah. There are definitely been some unidentified living objects in that lagoon through the years.
Sure. Yeah. What if the mob dumps a body in there? What could happen? It's no good.
Hey, look, Jimmy Hoffa with really sharp teeth.
Gator food.
Rip Torn died.
I'm so sad about this because he was one of my favorite character actors of all time. Probably best known as Artie, the foul-mouth TV producer from The Larry Sanders Show. And we have just a quick little clip of some funny moments.
How'd you find
a
clean clip?
Well, we had to bleep some of it. But
okay.
The best stuff that he does is so incredibly filthy and inappropriate. You'd have to go on YouTube or wherever Larry Sanders Show is streaming to watch it. But here's a little taste.
Now don't take this as a threat, but I killed a man like you in Korea, hand to hand.
Whoa, whoa. Mama Lucia.
Trabalusa, Gabusa.
You just go home. I'll come over there later, stick a red hot poker up your we'll call it even.
Okay. You have my address, right?
And your poker size.
Okay.
And your poker size. Tremendous. Also tremendous in Defending Your Life.
Defending Your Life.
Men in Black.
He was nominated for an Academy Award for the movie Cross Creek.
Yep.
He was hilarious in Dodgeball.
Right.
Throwing the wrench.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
He was nominated for an Emmy Award 6 times for his role as Artie on The Larry Sanders Show. He won one time. He was nominated for a Tony Award. He actually started on Broadway and co-starred with Paul Newman on Broadway.
He was a serious character actor until Larry Sanders.
Until Larry Sanders. And, yeah, kind of breathed new life to his career. Died peacefully at his home with his family by his side, 88 years old.
Which media mogul selling weed?
It's Jay-Z.
In a hizzy?
He will be in a hizzy as soon as the weed starts rolling in, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't have enough money already. He doesn't have a beautiful enough wife. He doesn't have enough things going for him now. He's become part of a cannabis-producing company. He will be the director of development for the company, and also he will lead the portion of the company which takes ex-cons and uses them and trains them into this new industry in the United States. So that,
well, that's kind of an interesting
The whole thing is kind of is very, very interesting, yeah.
All right, so here's the question. How much money would it take for you to lose all interest in doing anything outside your house?
What do you mean?
Like never do anything again.
Never do any work.
Sit around, watch the Game Show Network all day.
Well, I pretty much do that now as it is.
Oh, you do? Okay. I'm just checking. Because for me, it's another $100.
Where you would just quit everything?
I'd just be done.
Just to watch TV?
Yeah. TV is not that interesting, I suppose.
Just not to come to work. Yeah.
But no one should give me the extra $100 because if I lost my incentive to come in here and, you know, crush it for 4 hours and 5 minutes a day, what am I going to do with the other 18 hours and 55 minutes? You know what I'm saying?
Well, all I know is that if I wasn't doing this, I would still wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning because that's the best part of the whole job.
You'd wake up at that hour to pee. All right, now I heard a ridiculous number. I heard NBC, whatever holding company owns NBC this week, paid like a gazillion dollars to get Friends off of Netflix.
Well, I didn't hear the amount of money, but I think the
Michael, deal, look that up for me. Will you? See if you can find how much NBC paid.
The deal is going to be over, and Friends will be leaving Netflix next year. But it's not going to be. NBC is starting its new online platform called NBC Universal. But there's a new platform also that is starting up that's going to be called HBO Now.
Because NBC owns HBO, too?
Well, NBC does not own HBO, but I think it might be the production company of Friends, not that actually owns Friends.
Okay.
Because that's going to be Warner Brothers. It's going to be CNN product. It's going to be TBS, TNT. A lot of the time, Warner companies are putting all of their streaming material on this new service, and that includes Friends, which had been on Netflix up until this point, but starting next year, it will no longer be on Netflix. Things are going to change on television. You know, for television, for watching on your television set, however it is, whether it's actual signals over the air or streaming services, things are going to be changing dramatically over the next three, five years.
All right, so here's the thing. I loved Seinfeld. I've seen every Seinfeld over and over and over again. I'm not burned out on it necessarily, but I don't look for Seinfeld. I love Friends. I've seen every Friends over and over and over again. Yeah, there's a couple of key episodes of Friends that I would watch over and over again, like the nap episode where Joey and Ross take a nap together.
Right.
But I wouldn't necessarily search it out. Don't you run the risk that people get burned out on a show like Friends?
Apparently they do not. For this show, for The Office, for Golden Girls, tremendously popular still in reruns and on streaming services. People like to, I guess they find them comforting to watch some of these old shows.
Okay. Lady Gaga's new business?
Gaga's starting a makeup business, cosmetics and makeup business, which makes sense because she certainly has made her mark on the beauty world with her line. I don't know if you'll be able to get bologna, salami, the cold cuts that she likes to wear, but you will be able to get makeup sticks, multi-use makeup sticks, Steve, for your eyes, lips, and cheeks.
That's great news for me.
That is going to be one of the products for this. It's called House Laboratories, and it'll be available on Amazon.
Woodstock occurred in a farm field in eastern New York State, upstate New York, 50 years ago.
Yep.
And they've now had two or three places that have bailed on having the 50th anniversary of Woodstock in about a month or two. What's the latest?
Add another place that has bailed on them. They were trying to get the Vernon Downs horse track. Vernon,
so it's near Syracuse, New York.
New York, right. And at the last minute, the Oneida County administrator there says they can't put it all together. They need way more time than the promoters are trying to get this done in. So they said no as well. But this is, I think this is the fourth site now that said that they're not interested.
Well, maybe they can do the 51st anniversary.
Yeah. Anybody can do a 50th anniversary.
Right. Right. And again, live bands in tow for Friday morning or what?
Are the Strumbellas and Lovely the Band. They're going to be performing, both of them performing little mini concerts, not just one song, but little mini concert sets in our 8 and 9 o'clock hours, the WGN Morning News Block Party. We'll all be out there from TV, and Steve is going to be there strolling the grounds. You've been warned.
Well, here's the thing, right? Because Justin's perfectly capable of hosting the show. He's done it before many times. So I'm going to have a lot of time to wander around. Who should I bug the most?
You know who loves being just bugged is Larry. Larry Potash, if you could just talk to him when he's not on the air, even sometimes when he's on the air.
Right.
But especially when he's off the air and he appears to be trying to prepare something for the next segment, he's just pretending.
That's when he gets in his ear.
That's where he really loves people talking to him and distracting him while he's pretending to get ready for something else.
There you go, Larry, look at me, Larry, look at me. Yeah, that'll be fun. Okay. I'll see you Friday morning.
Who doesn't love that? I can't wait.
All right, buddy.
Bye.
That's Dean Richards. That's more on entertainment for today. It's 8:34. We're back in a moment on 720 WGN. And thank you, Ravinia.
July 12, 1979, the White Sox and Tigers were due to play a twi-night doubleheader at Comiskey Park. A local radio station, along with White Sox owner Bill Veeck and his son Mike, devised this promotion. Fans who brought their unwanted disco records would get in the game for 98 cents. The records would be collected, placed in a crate in center field, and blown up between games. Comiskey Park was completely sold out, with thousands reportedly outside still hoping for tickets. Then things began to unravel. Many of the fans waiting crashed the gates. After the first game, the crate of disco records exploded as planned. Thousands of fans immediately rushed the field. Some lit fires. The batting cage was destroyed. The field badly damaged. Multiple fights broke out. Veeck got on the PA and pleaded for the fans to return to their seats. They didn't. 39 people were arrested. The umpires declared the field unplayable and called off the second game. Disco Demolition Night took its place as one of the great promotional fiascos of all time. But looking back, what's the big deal? We all know that records were made to be broken.
Didn't cost us better than that.
What, the records are made to be broken?
Come on. And what about the local radio station? Give Steve Dahl credit for crying out loud. If a man starts a riot, he starts a riot. Let him know.
That's right.
It is the 40th anniversary, Friday, of Disco Demolition. And that's not the line he's on. Steve Dahl judges now.
I'm on this one.
I run the controls just about as well as anybody. Good morning.
You're right. Would it have killed him to mention my name?
Right. I mean, you started a riot. You should get credit for a riot.
Yeah, come on. I'm the guy they're looking to arrest. I know we have a different... This is our topic, but I just want to tell you something. I made an incredible discovery this morning.
What's that?
I was having my pre-interview meal of shoving a piece of cornbread in my mouth.
Okay, good.
And I told Alexa to turn on the family room lights, and she understood me with my mouth full.
Wow.
Which is kind of a new level of artificial intelligence, I think.
I don't know if that's good or scary.
On several levels, I'm sure.
Right? All right.
I could have choked to death.
So let me go backwards.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve. How are you? Just another day of Steve Dahl and Steve Cochran doing radio together.
A couple of Steves. Steve Squared, we like to call it. Good morning, everybody.
Hello.
We're losing traffic coming up in just a second and weather every 5 seconds. Here we go.
Imagine that if we had weather on the fives. Wouldn't that be fun? All right, so 1979, who's your boss? Who is running the joint then?
A guy, his name was Leslie Lias. And we called him Les. He lied to us because, you know, you always have to say bad stuff about management.
Yes.
But Jeffrey Schwartz was the sales manager, and Mike Veeck kind of cooked the deal up. So,
all right. Now, did you know in the beginning that maybe we had a couple of issues here? You said, no, let's go.
I did not want to do it.
See, that's the thing that people don't know.
That's just me and the reluctant DJ. And also, the Sox were drawing like 9,000 people on a good night.
Right.
So if I doubled that and I drew 9,000 people, which would be a ton for a radio promotion, the place would still be like two-thirds empty. So, you know, not the feel-good I'm looking for. So
right,
I kind of didn't want to do it. They talked me into it, and I had no idea that it would end up you know, being what it was.
Did you have any inclination it was going to be cheap or free booze?
No. I mean, it was free to me. You know, I was up in the barge room. It was free to me. But I honest to God, when I got there at 5 o'clock to sign posters with Lorelei, the Loop Girl, there were maybe a couple of hundred people. And we went out to throw out the first pitch because it was like a twi-night doubleheader. So I think the first game started at 6 or something like that. And it was Lorelei, the very first Loop Girl,
right,
who's quite beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And myself dressed in my army helmet and my, you know, my army getup.
Also quite beautiful.
She throws the first pitch, and the catcher comes out and starts hitting on her because she's hot, right? And they walk off the mound together, and I'm standing there holding a baseball. There's nobody to throw it to,
oh,
so I sit
nice.
There for like 5 minutes, and then try to look cool, like, oh, I knew there was no catcher,
right?
And put the ball in my pocket and walked off. So that was kind of how the night started, and I figured that was how the night was going to end, but obviously it ended in a riot.
So it's between games, kids.
Because records are made to be broken.
Yeah, thank you, Bob Costas. So, kids, there was a time in America where doubleheaders were one ticket and you got to stay.
Yeah.
So this crowd was probably a little liquefied by the time that doubleheader break came up anyway. The majority of the crowd there was clearly there for you, for your promotion, for your disco demolition night. When did you have a sense this could get ugly?
Actually, not until I drove onto the we came onto the field through the center field gate where they keep the batting cage.
Yeah,
the destroyed batting cage.
Well,
and we drove around the warning track, and right when we came in, it was like, oh my God! And people were throwing cherry bombs at us and beer. And those were the people that liked us. So I guess I sort of knew when I came out of the security office on 35th Street, and 35th Street looked like Blade Runner with cops on horses. And that was back in the day when they had McCuddy's across the street.
Okay.
So it was, no one was more, excuse me, I get a little choked up.
Yeah, I understand. Well, it's a sad thing.
No one was more surprised than I was, but it turned out, you know, to be, in hindsight, 40 years later, a fantastic night. That night, I thought I was going to get fired. So,
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I added it up before you came on, and depending on how you score it, I've been fired between 5 and 10 times. What's your number?
Oh, 5 and 10?
Yeah.
You're a lightweight, man. I'd say I'm getting close to 30.
30?
If you count my entire career starting out in California, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I'm not even in the game. So
I've been on most stations in Chicago 10 times.
There was a little bit of that, wasn't there?
Yeah.
So when did you find out what Jimmy Pearsall said that he went nuts on you on the air?
When I came back up from the ceremony on the field, Jimmy was arguing with my wife, Janet, who's still my wife, about the proceedings, because he was upset with the proceedings, and wearing an outpatient T-shirt. He was wearing an outpatient T-shirt. And I guess I kind of figured it out then when I had to break up a fight between Jimmy and my wife.
It's not good. So, Janet's just doing the right thing, sticking up for you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think she could have taken him, too, frankly.
Probably so. Dave?
Well, Steve, wasn't part of it that Bill Veeck thought that Harry Caray could settle the crowd back down somehow, and they put him on the mic?
Yeah, Harry tried to do it. Then Bill came down on the field and did it. And I have to say that my only regret that night, or about that night, is the fact that it really did affect the Veeck family's ownership of the team. And I've always been a huge fan of Bill Veeck, so... You know, I did not mean to bring any trouble down on him.
Well, no, of course not. No, I mean,
he went out and tried to get people back on the field, off the field, and then I made a fake offer like I would do it, but I was hoping they wouldn't take me up on it because it didn't seem like that would be the awesome outlaw look I was going for. Like
that.
Okay, everybody, get back in your seats now.
That would have been like Bartman going back out onto Wrigley that night. That would not have been a good idea.
Right. And so I think Mitch Michaels, who was on the Loop at the time, came out and did go to your seats chant or something like that. But that doesn't really ring like disco sucks. So that didn't work either.
All right. So did you change clothes? And if you didn't, how did you get out of the stadium?
I just waited until everybody left. I got lectured by my boss. He told me that Tom Hoyt was his name. He's from Texas. He goes, whatever you do, be cool tomorrow. And I'm like, okay. So whatever that means.
Wait, what does that mean?
It meant don't talk about it.
Look, please. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. He goes, I don't want you talking about this tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm serious.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
And so I was like, oh, great. Okay, so how can I not go in and talk about it, especially when it's on the front page of both papers?
All over TV, all over the country.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is the three-channel universe, and this was a national story.
Yeah, this is before there was any social media or anything to distract us. This was this is back when they were, well, really, the loop, there were two rock and roll stations in Chicago, that was it.
Right.
And maybe, 20 altogether that people listened to. So it was a pretty big deal, and there was no way I couldn't talk about it and retain my credibility, which is what got me there in the first place. So.
Right, that's what was paying the bills.
Yeah.
All right, so you didn't get fired. How much longer were you there?
Another year
okay.
or so.
This thing continues. To me, Steve, this is as big now as it's ever been. It seems like more people are talking. I've been in town 25 years. There's more people talking about this now than there was 25 years ago.
I know. It's kind of every year I marvel at the fact that I'm still talking about it. But, yeah, I know for a lot of people my age, your age too, I guess. It was just kind of like one last fun shot of freedom and, rock and roll and summer and baseball and getting high and drinking beer because the drinking age was 18. So, dropped that down to 16 that night. And it was a fun night, and I think people like to remember it that way.
So. Yeah, the Loop ID fake vending booth was big that night. Fake ID vending booth. yeah. All right, so listen, you and I
That's
both...
That's where I made all my money.
You and I are both grandparents now. Now, you got a bunch of grandkids. Some of them are old enough to get this. Do they realize how cool you were then?
They realized a couple weeks ago, the White Sox had a free T-shirt night where they gave away a 40th anniversary Disco Demolition commemorative shirt, and I threw out the first pitch, and I think they sort of got that I was cool that I was able to throw out the first pitch. So we're getting there. The oldest one's only 8, so.
It's a work in progress.
Yeah, yeah.
And
how many do you have? How many?
I had one and one on the way.
Dude, I have 9.
Yeah, I know.
And one on the way.
You need to tell the boys to get a hobby and leave their wives alone.
Well, I think they figured out why it happens now, so. They never listened to me when we had the talk. Never.
All right, so you're a lifetime White Sox fan. How long was it before you could go to a game again?
I waited. I kind of laid low for maybe 2 or 3 years. And Rob Gallis was the PR guy back then. He was pretty cool, and he stuck me in a couple of times. And then once they changed ownership, everything was kind of forgiven and forgotten. So.
Tons of great texts about you. Everybody wants you back on the radio, and I appreciate you coming on to talk about this. And like you said, it's crazy. It's bigger than ever. But Bob Costas.
Well, thanks for having me, man.
Yeah.
And, I got to say, I love radio. You're one of the few stations in the market that still actually does what radio is supposed to do, and that's, be a local station and talk to people about what's happening around here. And in the meantime, I do a podcast every day, and that's fun for me. And
yeah, and people can hear it where?
Doll.com. But the only person that tells me what to do now is my wife, so.
Well, thank God you're still listening.
No program directors or anything, so that's good.
Yeah, and by the way, if everybody that's texting me now is actually at Disco Demolition, there were 150,000 people there that night.
Yeah, I've met a lot of people that were there, though. It's when I was there the other night for the T-shirt night, one of the security guards was there as a 14-year-old. He climbed up over the back wall of Comiskey Park and got in, so... Some crazy
cool.
stories out there.
That's pretty cool. Hey, sometimes I'll tell you about the big red gum event I did in Detroit once. Not quite as big as this. Didn't quite last as long.
Yeah, but it's gone, man. You got rid of it, and that's the important thing.
Steve Dahl, 40-year anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Thanks, buddy.
See you later, man. That's Steve Dahl. See, we can be friends, Steve.
No, absolutely.
Right?
47,795, the official attendance that night.
Isn't that incredible? And he's not kidding. They were drawing flies prior to that.
That was their, well, by about 1,000, their largest crowd of the year. That they had a big crowd for Boston. They had a big crowd for the Yankees. They had a big crowd for opening day. And those were the only games.
Right?
Yeah.
It's amazing. The White Sox are putting a winner on the field in the next 2 years, which is not good for me because Disco Demolition 2 was in the works. And
yeah,
you know, I
but
said,
now, you know, MP,
it was Dahl and I partnering on it this time.
MP3 Demolition?
MP3.
That's what it would be today.
How about electronic dance music demolition?
Yeah, there you
right?
Go.
There's always something to blow up.
Mm-hmm.
Man-cow tapes demolition. Bunch of texts coming in about Steve Dahl being on the show. Arlington Heights, I have my Steve Dahl demolition derby. Coho Lips 45 still in the wrapper. Steve, been a long-time listener. Remember the first time you talked about your first child on the air. Thanks for all the great memories. I was at Disco Demolition 224. I was at Disco Demolition. It was so much fun. I had a piece of center field growing in my room for a while. We knew it was time to leave when we saw the police show up in their riot gear, complete with billy clubs. Did they ever have billy club night at Red Wrigley?
I don't think so, no.
331, friend of mine said we should go because we love Steve and hated disco. I told him, you're nuts. The place is going to go crazy. We might not come out alive. It was noon that day, and they decided to not go. I think there's some people still in prison from that night, isn't there?
Do you know...
Couldn't afford a lawyer?
The amazing thing is that they... Obviously, the second game wasn't played, but they played the next day.
I love the idea. This is so typical show business management. I love the idea that somebody went up to him and said, hey, man, don't talk about this tomorrow.
Yeah,
are you
right.
Friggin' kidding
right.
me?
Yeah, it was such a big story.
And we're the crazy ones. It's 9:02. Let's do one more break. We'll come back. Hi to CLTV, Dave. Wave to the fine people there.
Hi, CLTV.
Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening to 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
Hello out there. We're on the air. It's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps, and the players bump, and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
Oh, 9:14, we continue live on CLTV and 720 WGN. Steve Cochran Show. If you know and love hockey in Chicago, you know the reputation of the new Trier hockey program and all the hockey families there. I've actually asked the boss to come in to discuss this as well, and the boss is now Mary Sandberg. You remember Mary Sandberg, Dave? She was on the show.
I've heard of her, yeah. And I just think anytime you invite a boss into the studio, it's headline news.
The hell's
news.
Going on with me? Dolls yeah. on last right. hour, and now the boss is
what
in
has
here?
Happened to the show?
I don't know. But one of the great names in New Trier hockey history is Alex Pegler, and many would argue, as good a player as he was probably even a better coach, and to honor Alex and his memory. The New Trier hockey program's doing something special. So, Sandberg, tell me what's happening.
They are, well, Alex Pegler is important to us because he was a great hockey player, but also his mom works at our company, Peg. She is here today, and she is in our sales team. And Alex passed away at 24. It was devastating, unexpected. And this team that he coached, the New Trier Green, they rallied around that all season long.
Oh. It's all right. I knew you wouldn't make it far.
So when they won the state championship this year, I was watching on television. And they went and got his jersey and brought it over to his mom.
And Peg, I'm just going to bail you out here for a second. and Peg is here. We're going to ask Peg to speak in a second. But let me bring Mr. Sievertson in here.
I got the rest of this. Just
you got
so,
it?
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
So then when they talked to the captain, when they talked to the coach, they all said that this was for Alex as much as they were happy for themselves and, you know, for the team. And some of this was some of these players, it's the last game they were going to play, but they were so happy to do this for Alex. So also continuing the honor of Alex, they are having the hockey block party. It's the summer Saturday, July 27th. 7th at the North Shore Ice Arena from 4 to 10 p.m. Okay, now Neil can take
nice it. Recovery. Very impressive. Neil Sievertson's here. Neil, how are you?
I'm doing
great. I'll turn your microphone on here. Lean right into that thing, if you would, for me.
I'm doing great. Thanks.
And Neil, what's your title all of this, my friend?
my tie to this. It's just love the hockey, love of the program. You know, my son Magnus has played there and for the same coaching staff for a number of years. They've had great success, and they've had even better success off the ice, made amazing friendships. And, you know, to honor someone like Alex, a former captain and state champion, who wanted nothing more than to be able to ensure that every kid was able to enjoy the experiences he enjoyed on the ice and the friendships that they built, being able to rally around Alex this year and host this event in his honor is you know, something that we're really proud of, and we're planning on making sure we do a good job of it.
Yeah, and losing Alex rocked everybody, but I think it's a testament not just to this program, but to the game, because hockey is family, right? And yeah, this family got even tighter.
It's family for life.
Again, the website is NewTierHockey.com. You want to introduce your son and these two studs that are right here?
Sure. So Magnus Sievertson, a defenseman on last year's championship teams here, along with his partner, Brian Dolby, another defenseman and captain from last year's NewTier Green Team. And Brian's got a lot of history with Alex. His older brother, Jack, played with Alex at NewTier as well.
So let me start with you, Brian. What do you remember of Alex?
His high spirits and just like his way of bringing energy no matter what is just something that really shocked. I mean, not really shocked the team, but it impacted the team tremendously.
Good leader.
A great leader. From the minute he walked in the room, I mean, he set the tone right away. We weren't going to lose a game, and we went undefeated the first 30 games of the year. And he goes, and I just remember his high spirits and his smile and the way he just brought the team together no matter what was going on.
And Magnus, you know, a lot of guys don't know how good a player the older guys are that end up coaching. Did you know how good a player Alex was?
I knew how good of a player he was. I mean, he told us his stories of when he went to the state championship, of how far he went. I mean, he was really a leader for his team. He was a big impact no matter where he was. He's a big voice. He's got an infectious smile. I mean, sure. You can always see him. He's a big presence no matter where he is. So
no doubt.
It wasn't a surprise that he was.
And those are great memories for you guys, because that doesn't go away.
Unreal.
So talk to me again about the event itself, Neil. What happens?
So on July 27th at the North Shore Ice Arena, which is in Northbrook, one of the rinks that a number of the North Shore clubs, including NewTier, play out of, they were kind enough to donate the rink that day for our fundraiser. And from 4 to 10, we have a series of events that I think all hockey families and people that know Alex and know what he meant will come out and enjoy. From 4 to 5, we have a kids skate. We call it the Skate with a Trevian. So all the younger kids that might be playing in the local feeder teams like Wilmette or Winnetka,
sure,
can come and skate with the NewTier Green champion kids, you know, some other upcoming underclassmen. Fun small area games and drills. After that, we have an alumni game. We've got you know, ex-NewTier players and other hockey players, maybe not at NewTier, but whose family are associated with NewTier back to the 50s, coming out to play. And that game will go on from probably about, you know, 5:30-ish, depending on when the
sure
kids get off the ice to 6. And then we've got a band and
full day.
Full day, goes till 10. The barbecue band and silent auction goes until 10 o'clock. Northbrook has been awesome in helping us facilitate, as has North Shore Ice Arena. So come on out.
If people can't get there, can they still donate?
Oh, absolutely. You can go on NewTier's website, which, as you mentioned, is www.newtierhockey.com, and look for Alex's picture. You can donate directly by clicking on the button and the live link that pops up.
Well, it's a great event to have, and it's a great way to remember Alex. Peg, I love you. Lean into that microphone.
Okay.
Tell me about Alex.
Well, I think these boys said it all. He was an amazing young boy, an amazing young man, a great player, a great coach, and he always wanted everybody to be able to enjoy the game. So, I mean, the fact that this fundraiser is going on for kids to be able, that can't afford hockey, to be able to come out and play his dream is he's smiling down on all of you right now, and just he's happy that he is making a difference in these kids' lives, because that's what he wanted to do. I mean, his whole life, it was all about hockey.
And Peg, how about he would love a summer block party that includes hockey and music and good times and smiling. That's a perfect honor for Alex.
No doubt. Thank you guys for having us.
Well, let me just say about you. You know, the toughest thing you can do when you go through a tragedy like you've gone through is dive back into where, you know, it's centered around, and it's centered around hockey. So your strength has been amazing. You've been an inspiration to everybody.
Well, thank you. And I couldn't do it without my loving WGN family and just all of the teammates and friends. You know, Tracy Dolby is here with me, longtime hockey mom friend. And we love the sport. We love it. And
yeah, I was going to say, were you surprised at all about the reaction? But you probably weren't. This is probably not that you'd ever expect to have to need this kind of support, but I'm sure you weren't surprised.
Not really. Not if you knew Alex, you knew it was there. I mean, if you were, you know, everyone was at the service and you saw the outcry of people. I mean, people loved him. As they said, he was contagious. He had that smile that was infectious, that he walked into the room and the whole room turned and looked at Alex.
NutureHockey.com. Want to have a great day, right?
Absolutely. Come on out and enjoy.
Let's load it up. Guys, thanks for getting up. I know you didn't want to get up at this hour, but thanks for getting up. Appreciate it. And good luck. Thanks. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. And thanks to everybody with Nutria Hockey and Sam Brick. You did great.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Steve Cochran Show. 9:26. You know, we get a lot of requests around here. Could you replay this? Could you replay that? Well, guess what? We've asked Catherine Lake to take on a show to do exactly that, and good morning to you.
Good morning. It's actually going to be a little different this Thursday.
What do you mean?
Well, last Thursday, I was given the opportunity to do what you said, and I collected all kinds of wonderful...
Are we out of best of material already?
You're done. You're out.
No more hits?
Nothing. You haven't done anything this week. What would I replay? But yes, last weekend I got to replay things and comment with my friend Mary. We got to chat. This week is very different.
Well, what are you doing different?
Well, Mary Pope, who is, get this, a forensic accountant.
Yeah, I know what that is.
You know what it? I didn't know. I thought she was going to be doing speeches. I thought maybe she was going to
Forensic accountants go back and they find out trails of money, where the money was, what happened to it, and what you can do about it.
That's why you're on the morning show right now.
Genius, what can I say?
Smart. Right. And not only has she done that for a living, studying that, and is a professor at DePaul. That's big enough. Do you remember the woman in Dixon? Who took all the money from the city?
Sure, yeah.
$53 million for her horses?
Yeah.
Kelly Pope did a documentary, All the Queen's Horses.
Oh, I remember that story.
All the Queen's Horses.
I remember the doc. I never saw the doc.
It's great.
I'm sure it is.
It does a great job. And Mary is also a TED Talker. I mean, we got some pros coming on.
So you're doing, what you're doing here is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, the Catherine Lake Show.
Yes.
Kind of sounds that way.
She decided to do best of everybody else for a week, and then she blew up the concept.
Yeah.
And now she's doing her own show.
So the best of Steve Cochran. Okay, that was good. Now let's do something else.
We still have a half hour to do something good.
Something good could happen.
Something good.
Yeah. So of the shows that you featured last week, who had the best of stuff?
Steve Dahl. No, sorry, that was no. Everybody had a taste. We had a little Roe. We had a little John.
Look at you. We had a little John. Well, people may not know this, but you've been around this radio station for a long time. You're on the air in Madison, and on the air here off and on for many, many years. So I'm glad you're back.
I am really thrilled to be here. I'm telling you, this has been my goal since I got into radio in 1991.
When you were four.
When I was four, I was listening to you on the way into my own morning show and thinking, boy, if I could be like those big boys, that'd be nice.
You know how many times I run into people now who go, you listened to you when I was growing up?
Yeah, me too.
Is it happening more? Yeah. Is it really?
And I say, thank you, shut up.
Shut up and walk away.
Yeah.
Gray hair.
And then I look in the mirror and go, well, that's probably about right.
It makes sense.
All right, so tomorrow night, what time?
10 p.m.
10 p.m. tomorrow night on this station.
On this station here at WGN.
720 WGN, WGNradio.com, and that's the WGN Radio app.
Exactly.
Well, I like that guest. You know what you if you come back next week, you do a best of and you feature only yourself.
There we go.
Right?
You're always thinking.
I'm on top of it. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you.
9:29. Let's come back and get to your headlines here in just a second. Before we do that, hey, should I read this thing? No? Can I hold on to that? All right, I'll hold on to that. Should I plug the podcast? Check out the Steve Cochran podcast, the Everything podcast. Go to WGN Radio. Has that been canceled as well? Or is it? Yeah, okay. No, the Everything podcast. Go to WGNRadio.com/Cochran. Use the WGN Radio app. You can find podcasts of interviews done on the air with just recently Jeremy Roenick, Bill Rancic, and others. So check that out. Coming up, stories that matter in just a second. Steve, are you ready to go right now?
I'm ready to go.
Well, yep. We should do it now then.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Welcome, monsieur. Sit yourself down and meet the best innkeeper in town. As for the rest, all of them crooks, rooking the guests and crooking the books. Seldom do you see
Les Miserables, whether you've seen it on Broadway,
honest men like me,
whether you've seen it as a high school production or anything in between, it is absolutely a classic.
Master of the house, doling out the charm.
And joining us in studio, Caitlin Finney. Caitlin Finney's from Evanston, graduated from Northwestern University. I shouldn't say you're from Evanston, you're from everywhere.
Kind of, yeah.
Nice to see you.
Nice to have me here. Thank you so much.
We're talking about the fact that you're a phenom. You just got out of Northwestern. Look at you in a big show already.
Yeah. I've been pretty lucky. I booked it pretty quickly after graduating.
I assume you'd seen it prior?
I have. I actually saw it my freshman year at Northwestern. My entire voice class at the time took a big trip into the city and saw it while it was on tour in 2012.
I'll tell you a quick story. My son was a theater major, and in high school, they had a turntable.
I had that too, actually, when I did it for the first time.
It's amazing.
In middle school.
Yeah, in middle school.
Yeah, it was a community production with.
But that's crazy.
I know.
Because a turntable, it's a passing of time. It's a device to tell the story. Obviously, if you've seen it, you know. But the great music, mm-hmm. great story, great show.
Yeah, it's beautiful. We're really lucky.
Too heavy, though, for someone that just got out of college?
No, because I love the drama. I studied opera, and I majored in opera.
Oh, sure. Me too, by the way, Dave, as you know.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
So it kind of fits in with, opera. It's very dramatic, very elongated.
Right. And of course, anytime you can put a musical to the French Revolution, that's a fabulous thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, without a doubt. So when did you decide you wanted to be an actress if you were doing so much opera?
Well, actually, that kind of fits in with Northwestern and with Chicago. I did a music festival, my first music camp, I think, when I was 15. It was called NISHMI, and it was the National High School Music Institute at Northwestern. And so this was the first time I was actually surrounded by other young musicians, other artists.
And this is a summer camp?
Yeah, it was a summer camp. I don't think it's still ongoing. I think they have the music theater one.
But I think it's important to say, because if you've got a kid in your life who gets up every day and is singing and dancing mm-hmm. around the house and can't get enough of it, you've probably got somebody who wants to chase that dream in your life.
Yeah.
And these camps, provided you find the right one, are a good investment.
Right. Yeah. So my dad really pushed me to apply for them because I was very shy. I didn't really like to perform in front of people a lot. And I do think that camp changed my life, because that was the point when I decided that I wanted to be singing and I wanted to be performing for the rest of my life.
What a cool thing about your dad.
I know. He's pretty great.
He gets it.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters?
I do. I have a brother and a sister.
Anybody else in show business?
No, my little sister really wanted to when she was really little, and she saw me growing up and doing it. But she hasn't really pushed herself to do that. And I don't think that's a bad thing. She's more into, a yearbook and Habitat for Humanity is finding her own way.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Save the world.
Yeah.
The rest of us will do show business.
Exactly.
It's a lot of work. People don't understand how much work it is.
It is.
Especially when it comes to singing the style of music that you're traditionally singing.
Mm-hmm.
Who told you had a big voice for that?
I think voice teachers. I've had a voice teacher since I was 12. My first one was in Calgary, and that was really just for fun, because how much can you really learn about your voice at, 12, such a young age?
Sure.
But
were you an opera fan at 12?
No. I just like singing.
Yeah. So who exposed you to opera?
I think my voice teacher when I was living in Houston. So she was my voice teacher in high school, and she thought my voice was best suited for opera, but she kind of, exposed me to both musical theater and opera. Obviously, musical theater is way more accessible for mm-hmm. high schoolers, because mm-hmm. you can do musicals in high school and community theater, but she exposed me to opera just because it's kind of healthy to learn that balance between the two.
Do you speak Italian?
I do, yeah.
So you can sing in Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Can you sing phonetically if need be, if there's another opera?
Yeah, so when you're a freshman, at least at Northwestern, when you're a freshman, you learn to speak phonetically in Italian, French, and German, so that you should be able to translate that if you have the IPA for any language. So, like, I also learned Russian phonetically.
Well, the amazing thing to me is you have to be as an actor, and you're acting while you're singing. Obviously, you have to become the person, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to know it phonetically, you have to know the translation of the language. There's an extra step, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
To lock into the character?
Yeah. Well, luckily, there's so many resources nowadays that you, when you first learn an opera, you would learn the IPA, you would learn the direct translation of each word, and then you would also learn, what is it, the artistic translation. So okay. Just what they're, you know, phrasing it in a normal speaking way.
You know, we come in here and we talk, Dave. It seems easier.
I tried to do that. My freshman year.
And this is our first language.
Yeah. My freshman year at Northwestern, I wasn't very good at that.
Yes. Yes. But we've learned through the years, haven't
yes.
we?
Yes.
Kaylin Finney, Cosette in Les Miserables. We'll tell you how to get tickets in a second. Easier than doing opera? I don't want to. I'm not trying to put the part down at all because I know how difficult the part is as well.
Well, I don't know that it's easier than opera. I mean, I think both have pros and cons. We do 8 shows a week, which you would never do in opera. So that stamina and building up that stamina, especially at a young age, can be really difficult.
But is Broadway and theater the ultimate goal here? Or is it too early to tell?
I think it's too early to tell.
Yeah, it's not even a fair question. You just got out.
I want to do everything.
Yeah, and the time, you know, who knows what type of person you're going to be in 5 years or 10 years or whatever.
Truly, yeah. So,
has your dad had a chance to come see how good you are?
He's a huge fan. He's actually coming again next week, both my parents, to come see it again. And they both love Chicago. My dad actually also went to Northwestern, so...
Look at this, Dave.
An excuse to just...
Got a whole lot of cats around, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Purple.
Go cats.
So let's plug the show. What theater are you at?
Cadillac Palace.
And, of course, BroadwayInChicago.com is the best way to always get tickets for any of the shows.
Yeah.
Now, even though you're at Northwestern, did you spend much time in the city when you were going to school?
I did. I would come in a lot to go see operas at the Lyric Opera and also shows downtown, but mostly operas and also CSO.
Could you get any of your friends to come to the opera? Because you're 18, 19 years old, go, hey, you guys want to go to the opera? That's probably not a big night out, though.
It actually is. I mean, in the voice community, it was
okay,
a lot of fun.
Yeah, everyone.
And student tickets were super cheap, you know, only $20.
Sure.
So, yeah.
And is there a woman who, as a performer, you most, I don't know, respect, I guess would be the word?
Oh, you know what? Speaking of fellow Wildcats, Kate Baldwin, I did my first job with her at the Lyric Opera doing King and I. And I really looked up to her because she studied theater at Northwestern. She has a beautiful, legit soprano, which is similar to my voice type. And she's had a really wonderful career since and is a beautiful actress as well.
Why do we assume that opera singers have to be large people?
Is that
just a cliche, right?
It is, but I also don't think it hurts you to be larger for opera because you have to have... you know, really great breath support, and being larger automatically helps
it
with
does.
Breath support. Yeah.
See, this is what I know. I know nothing. So it's a helpful thing potentially.
Yeah. Yeah. If you know how to use your breath well, and I'm sure it helps color your voice too. I mean, who really knows about vocal types, but I think it adds sometimes an extra depth and color to your voice too.
Right. Les Mis, Broadway in Chicago. You know who was in here about a year ago? Was it a year ago? Renee Fleming was here?
Really?
Yeah.
I think so.
Oh, I love her.
She's a riot.
She's gorgeous. And her daughter went to Northwestern.
Yeah. She's funny and fun and beautiful. And yeah, she's great.
It's
been a delight to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Why am I talking about Renee Fleming? You're here.
That's right.
Kaylin Finney, tell your dad I'm very impressed. Any dad that takes care of his daughters the way he has, that's a good man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so give him a hug from us. Because it'd be weird if I ran up and hugged him because we haven't met yet. congrats on your success.
Thank you so much.
Keep coming back, will you?
I will, of course.
All
it's my
right,
favorite city.
This is your town. And you got to meet Dave Ennett. You
know,
for a Northwestern grad, this is a big thrill.
He's a star.
Right?
Well,
he's a Hall of Famer. Stand by. You know, this is weird, Caitlin, but you know what the follow-up interview to you is before we close the show?
What?
There's an alligator in Humboldt Park, in the lagoon in Humboldt Park.
Oh.
We're going to interview the alligator coming up.
That's very cool.
There he is now. Thank you, Caitlin. Enjoy your time here.
Thank you so much.
Good to see you.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. Hey, alligator, have some mercy.
By the way, I've offended hardcore Les Mis fans, and they should be offended. I made a mistake I've made before. Les Mis is not set during the French Revolution. It's 50 years past the French Revolution. How dare I? I apologize. This is why when I went to Paris, people didn't enjoy me.
Was that it? Because you kept referring to the French Revolution?
Hey, that Les Mis there in the French Revolution. All right, so this alligator on the loose in Humboldt Park in the lagoon. Thank goodness we have finally been able to secure this. An exclusive interview with the alligator from Humboldt Park. Now, good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you? Is this
cool, man.
So you're the alligator.
Yeah, came up from the coast. I graduated from University of Florida. Go Gators! Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, I graduated summa cum laude, and I came up through the coast.
You graduated what?
Summa cum laude.
Oh, summa cum laude. Got it.
Yeah, and then I came up to Hilton Head, stayed there a couple of days, then Virginia Beach, and then I got to Ohio River. And I had to take like an Uber from Evansville or something, man. It cost me like $90. It's ridiculous.
So how'd you end up in the lagoon at Humboldt Park?
I don't really know. I came up for the A concert, the big thing.
Are you enjoying your time in Chicago?
Oh, that's where I'm at?
Yeah, this is Chicago.
Hey, you guys legalized marijuana, man.
I know that.
Like anywhere.
Yes. Yeah, it's actually not quite legal yet, but considering who you are, I'm not surprised you've been able to find some.
I'm just trying to get to the A concert, man.
I understand. Yes, I understand. So who is taking your picture out there? We understand people are milling about taking your photo all the time.
Well, yeah, like everybody's like, hey, Gator guy, can we take your photo?
Hey, Gator guy, that's what they're yelling from the beach.
My name is Scotty. Scotty, they don't know me as Scotty, so they're just like, hey, Gator guy, you take your photo, and I'm like, yeah, if you give me like some money, because I spent all that money on the Uber.
So you would prefer if they called you Scotty, your given name, than Hey Gator Guy?
Yeah, my roommates down at University of Florida call me Scotty. Everybody could just call me Scotty.
Okay, all right, that's fine. Well, I appreciate you doing this, and how long do you plan on being here in Chicago?
Well, I'm supposed to be at the Gatorade Concert Festival in Baton Rouge.
Okay, well, you got to go to that.
Yeah, but I think my GPS is messed up. They got everybody playing there. Reptile Dysfunction, Thin Lizzard, Sewer Brown. I mean, it's like loaded with people. And then the closing is KC and the Sunshine Band.
Wow, interesting. Hey, before we let you go, there's some confusion here about the difference between a gator and a crocodile. What is the primary difference?
It's really just money, man.
It's money?
Like a class system. It's a class system.
Oh, I thought it was the shape of the snout.
No. Man, where are you from?
Well, I'm from a lot of places.
I thought you're from New York or something like that. People know, man.
All right, well, listen, I hope everything goes well for you here. We appreciate you coming on. And again, you're not here to harm anyone. You're just here because your GPS was off.
Exactly, man, and I want to do a shout out to Elliot's Augusta Pizza and Grill, man. They've been taking care of me.
Thank you very much, Gator Guy. Scott. That's Scott.
Scotty.
Summa
Chew Louder.
Yeah, Kuma Chew Louder.
Kuma Chew Louder.
Yeah. We'll take a break. Come back. Bill and Wendy are next on 720 WGN. It's 10 o'clock. Bill and Wendy are here on Friday. I'm off for the next couple of days, but on Friday I'll be off on.
How does that work again, Steve? Explain.
I'll be showing up at the WGN-TV 4th Annual Block Party in Naperville.
You going to be in the dunk tank?
No, but you know, we came up with something earlier. Dave Ennett in the dunk tank doing the play-by-play of Dave Ennett being dunked.
No, that isn't what we came up with. We came up with me doing a play-by-play of someone going in the dunk tank.
Yeah,
not true.
You can't do play-by-play, self-play-by-play. That wouldn't
work.
It's
never been done.
No. Here's the kick. Here's the pitch. Uh-oh. That's it. Why is that bad?
Oh.
That's it. Come on, Dave.
Oh.
Yeah, you can take your own pictures. You can take your own videos.
That could be electrocuted. From wearing a microphone?
Oh, yeah.
I get dunked? I could.
Dave, take one for the team. Come on.
Like, I don't do that every day.
It's 6 to 10 Friday morning. Justin will host the show. I'll be doing a drive-by on my own show.
Don't you want to host on that day? That would be a great day to host, you would think. You don't want to do it?
I'm off that day.
Are you off that day? What was the running order of them setting up this event and you taking your day off?
I actually had the day off.
Oh, you
did? It's a big golf tournament.
Oh, it is?
It's one of the big golf tournaments of the year.
You got a golf,
so at
then.
Least there's a priority.
Right,
that,
sure.
Know, set up. And so I'm in the big golf tournament, but the big golf tournament tee off on Friday morning is a little later.
Oh.
So I'm able to come by the show.
Oh. Well, that's the most you could do.
And, you know, I mean, the new Nextar people could be there. I mean,
they'd probably be there.
You got to kiss butt where you can. You know what I'm saying?
True.
I'm not getting any younger.
Nope.
I need this gig for a little while.
Right.
Anyway, everybody from the WGN Morning News will be there, and everybody from this show will be out there as well. Do you know where we're going to be broadcasting from, Dave? I should probably
find
out. It's
near the library. I know that.
No, that's not where they're doing the show. Sounds like TV's playing another prank on us.
Oh, no.
No, but if you're coming to downtown Naperville, in and around the library and the Riverwalk, that's where all this is going on.
Could you return a book for me while you guys are there?
No doubt. Yeah, I don't want you to get in trouble.
We'll be at the corner of Webster and Jackson, across the street from Egg Harbor.
Typical Vandeveld, working a corner.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey!
What are you guys doing today?
Steve, yesterday I was detained by the police for a reason I will explain.
I cannot wait to hear this.
Do you know the story?
No. We save it for the air. That's what we do.
Wow.
Yep.
Very
Chicago's
exciting.
Finest.
Are you okay?
I don't know.
You're walking funny.
I am, aren't I? I don't know.
Here's the weird thing. They did a full body cavity search and they found Popeye.
Oh?
It's an action figure. Still in the box. Quite uncomfortable. God.
Well, blow me down.
No. Gosh.
You win. See you Friday.